You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I want to invite you to a free 2-week challenge that we are doing inside the society called the Clarity Reset. If you are new here, the Society is our membership program. That's an extension of this podcast where we grow in our faith, we grow as individuals, we grow with community, and of course, we grow in our business. Now, our next challenge is called the Clarity Reset. Here's the truth. Many of us are not struggling because we lack discipline, skill, or even work ethic. We're struggling because our capability has outpaced our capacity. We keep saying yes to things because we can, but not because we should. And over time, everything starts to feel heavier than it needs to be. This Clarity Reset is not for us to come together and get clear about doing more. It's about restoring clarity so that our effort is aligned with our actual capacity, with our priorities, and the season that the Lord has us in. Because when you don't have clarity, your discipline starts to turn into pressure. But with clarity, your effort is more focused and sustainable. So over 2 weeks, we're going to be slowing things down, y'all. We're not adding to your plate. Or just going full steam ahead in 2026, we are slowing it down. You'll have daily prayer calls, a guided corporate fast. We'll have some short coaching lessons around boundaries, decisions, and pace. We're going to have live sessions with myself and the other hosts of the society. And you also get full access to the society as a paid member during your trial. If this resonates with you, I invite you to join us. The link is in the show notes, and I would love to take on this Clarity Reset with you. All right, so for today, we are hopping back into the Charles Stanley book, The Spirit-Filled Life, Discover the Joy of Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. This is our book club pick from last year. We're wrapping it up. This episode, and I want to say next episode, will be the last two for this book, and then I'll keep you posted on our next book club pick. But for now, we are continuing on opening up part 3, which is all about looking ahead, focusing specifically on the Holy Spirit's role in decision making. If you do not have this book, I encourage you to go get it. The link will be in the show notes. I say all the time, it's one of my top 3 Christian books of all time. But as usual, I try to do the episode as if you aren't reading it with me so that you can still get the message that is to be received from the chapters. So chapter 13 is all about the Holy Spirit as our guide. I highlighted on the main page as we're going into part 3 where he has Acts 16 and 7 here. And we actually talked about this. The scripture says, and after they came to Mysia, they were going to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. We did an episode in the Bible on Business series on Acts 16 and 7, talking about when the Lord closes doors. So I'm going to look for that episode and put it in the show notes, because I think that that is a great complementary episode to what he's discussing here in chapter 13. Now, after he introduced the Holy Spirit as our guide, as it says in the text, he starts talking about spiritual markers. He says, one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is that of a guide, yet it is not always easy to discern his voice. People often ask me, how do I know who is talking to me? How can I tell the difference between my thoughts and God's? In the following chapters, we're going to look at some spiritual markers that will always line up when the Holy Spirit is guiding us. Since God is not the author of confusion, he does not want us to be confused about an area as vital as this one. So he has given us some clear channel markers to ensure that we stay right on course with his will for our lives. Before we jump into an in-depth look at each marker, I want to pause and focus your attention on something Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit as a guide. In talking to the disciples about this issue, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. And that's John 16:13. He says this verse speaks volumes, but we need to consider four key truths before we go any further in our discussion. The first one is that the Holy Spirit will guide us. The emphasis is on the word guide. Jesus doesn't promise that the Holy Spirit will control us. He doesn't promise that he will drive us. He doesn't say that the Holy Spirit will force us to do anything. He says that he will guide us. Granted, there are times when I wish the Holy Spirit would control me. For instance, when I'm tempted or when I become so task-oriented that I become insensitive. He is our guide, not our controller. At no point do we lose our ability to choose to follow his leading. Consequently, we are always responsible for our words and actions. I have highlighted here where he said, I become so task-oriented that I become insensitive. When I was praying about 2026, I always seek the Lord for what he has for me. You know, some people will say, God, what's my word for the year? God, what's my phrase for the year? What's my scripture for the year? And I've done that in the past as well. But as I've grown over the years, I make the question a lot more open-ended, because what if God has more than a word? What if God has more than one scripture? I don't want to place filters on the Lord, and I don't want to taint my ability to discern his voice by the way in which I form my question. So over the years, I decided that my prayer is just simply, God, what do you have for me this year? And I wait to hear what he says. And when I prayed that this year, and not just saying, God, what do you have for me as far as like, God, what are you giving me? But the heart of that question for me is, God, what do you need from me this year? Is a, more of a service of how I could serve him, a question of how I could serve him versus how he is going to give me something. And so this year, when I said that prayer, one thing the Lord really downloaded into me was sensitivity. I need you to focus on your sensitivity. And that was interesting, because it's not one of those words where it's like, this is going to be the year that everything changes, or, you know, like this is going to be the year where you finally become a millionaire. Like, it wasn't any of that. And so I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. And when I sat with the word and thought about my part in it, because of course, if the Lord is saying that this is the year that you focus on, I want you to focus more on, even more on your sensitivity, then my first question is, well, what keeps me from being sensitive? And I go straight to trying to deal with that. And what the author said here resonated with me so much is because when life gets busy, it is very easy for that busyness and your focus on your goals and the tasks at hand to dull your senses. And so I believe that that word that the Lord gave me is not just for me, which is why I'm sharing it here. But I believe that the Lord wants us all to focus on our sensitivity. There is a lot of deception out here. There is a lot of just foolery, trickery, wolves in sheep's clothing, distractions, so many. Like the list can go on of things that will dull our sensitivity. And so I want not just me, but I want you guys to also take that as a word for you to focus on your sensitivity in this new year. So as we are wrapping up this book by Charles Stanley on the Spirit-Filled Life, go back and listen to my reviews on all of the chapters, because this is what this book is all about. Getting us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I want us all to make that a priority this year and to identify the things that draw us away from him or that dulls that sensitivity. Pay attention to them so that we can eliminate them and keep our ear and our heart open to the Holy Spirit's involvement. And we're going to talk about that a little more as we continue on in the chapter. The second truth that he wants to discuss is the Holy Spirit is a trustworthy guide. And he, meaning the author, the Holy Spirit is a trustworthy guide. The Holy Spirit helps believers discern between what is true and what is not, what is wise and what is foolish. what is best, and what is simply okay. Each day is full of decisions. Most of our decisions concern issues not clearly spelled out in Scripture. For example, where to attend school, whether to hire a particular applicant, how to budget for vacation, and the list goes on. As you are barraged with the details of everyday life, the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will give you that extra on-the-spot sense of discernment that you need to make both big and small decisions. And the wonderful effect is that you develop a greater sensitivity to His guidance. You will worry much less about the decisions you make. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a trustworthy guide. I was having a conversation with my husband earlier today, actually, and he was telling me how he was like, how he has increased his prayer time even more. My husband is the kind of guy who always has his Bible. He takes it to work. He takes it if he's riding the train to work, he's reading it on the train. He takes it out to dinner with his friends. He is the one that everybody knows is going to have their Bible with them and is going to be open. I was laughing at him the other day because for Christmas, he asked me to buy him this parallel Bible where it's actually pretty cool. Like every page has four different translations. And I find it to be a very cool Bible. And so I bought him that Bible. He has a study Bible. He also has like a pocket Bible that he takes around. But I came downstairs one morning and all four of his Bibles were on the table plus a journal. And I was like, I thought it was just so funny. But at the same time, it was such a beautiful representation of where his focus is. And so he was telling me earlier how he was, you know, in his word, praying even more, and how a job opportunity had came up in his inbox. And he remembered how the Lord told him before, like, just stay put where you are as far as his job goes. And this is during a time where there's a lot of economic uncertainty, as we've seen with the government shutdown and all of these things. And so even in a climate that would breed anxiety or rash decisions, he wanted to be prayerful. And so in being prayerful, the Lord told him to stay put. Now, this was a few months ago, but moving on to today, he got an email about a different job opportunity. And he was telling me how he was tempted to go and look to see what's going on, you know, how much they pay him, what's the job, all of these different things. And he was reminded, or the Holy Spirit drew him back in to say, no, don't even get distracted. He said he heard the Lord say that this is just a distraction. And so he just continued to, you know, move, not focus too much on the message, and just continue to do what the Lord told him to do. And I thought that was a beautiful example of the way in which Charles Stanley is calling us to live. This episode is brought to you by NerdWallet. Running a small business is tough, especially as a Black-owned business. And when it's time to get a loan, it can feel impossible to find a lender that you actually trust. Big banks say no. The internet is full of sketchy offers with sky-high interest rates and fine print that you can barely read. Whether you need help covering payroll, managing cash flow, or investing in growth, you deserve better. That's why I recommend the small business marketplace, Fundera, powered by NerdWallet. It's a free, easy-to-use platform that lets you compare real financing offers from trusted lenders all in one place. What I like is that you don't need perfect credit to get started. No spam, no bait and switch, just personalized options that fit your business needs. If I was in the market for a loan right now, this is exactly where I would go. And here's the best part. For a limited time, when you visit nerdwallet.com/blessed and fill out the no obligation form, you'll get VIP treatment and talk with a real person who knows all the ins and outs of small business lending. Don't risk your business on unreliable lenders. Go to nerdwallet.com/blessed to find the funding that you deserve. Fundera Inc. NMLS ID number 1240038. This episode is brought to you by IXL. It's time for those spring activities, sports, busy schedules, and with all of that, it can be tough to keep academics front and center. IXL makes it simple to stay consistent and build momentum without adding stress. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace, it's an easy way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Y'all know I am an IXL girly. We use it every single day in my house, and I love how it keeps up with my son's pace, who is advanced. I also love that his school is able to set settings on their end so that not only are we able to grow and advance at his pace, but we can also stay on track with what they're learning in school. And because my son loves it so much, and it's interactive and engaging to him, it's so easy for us to fit it into our busy spring schedules. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests, and that's proven in all 50 states. IXL saves you both time and money. One subscription covers everything, pre-K through 12th grade, for all of the kids in your home. 1 hour of tutoring can cost more than an entire month of IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Trust and Will. One of my favorite scriptures is that wise man leaves an inheritance for their children's children. And as a mom of three, I want to live up to that. And I'm sure you do too. Now, when we pass on, our faith, our family, and our legacy can all be protected with Trust and Will online estate planning. Sometimes it could feel overwhelming when thinking about creating an estate plan, but Trust and Will makes it easy to safeguard your children's future with a stronger and smarter estate plan. I also love, now that I've created my estate plan with Trust and Will, that my family and loved ones will have much needed peace of mind. I don't want to leave my family with a burden. I want to leave them with space and time to grieve. With Trust and Will, you can create a plan in as little as 30 minutes to protect guardianship of children and pets, asset distribution, and healthcare directives. Trust and Will's products are state-specific, attorney-designed, and customized to your needs. Trust and Will also provides amazing customer service support from real people. Protect your legacy and your loved ones today, tomorrow, and beyond with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/blessed and get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/blessed to get your 20% off. trustandwill.com/blessed. I had a conversation with a friend of mine this week because my son, at their school, they had did some academic testing. And it's a school-wide thing. Everybody does it. And I learned that my son's score was above the gifted level. Now, I tell you all the time my son is a genius. I've known this, my oldest, my five-year-old. I've always known this. I could tell. The boy has been reading since two. I never taught him how to read. He just picked it up and just started reading one day. He is very gifted in math. He has a ton of sense, and he's just very, very smart. He's a brilliant child. And this was kind of one of those times where it was proven, not just as me as his mom, because everybody's okay, cool, like, you're his mom, of course you want to say that, but the test was showing, like, gifted is, let's say, a five. He's at like a 10. So he is above the gifted level. And it made me think about, like, man, I wonder if I need to find a different school. Because right now he's in a Christian private school. And I'm like, I wonder if I should find a different school that's specifically for gifted children. Because I want to make sure that he is challenged appropriately in the classroom. Because that's one of my critiques right now, was I feel like he's very smart and can be very bored in class, and we need to make sure that we're challenging him. And not just at home, but in the classroom as well. But I also had this conflict of, I want my child to stay in a Christian school because I want, more than anything, the truth of the Lord and a love for reading the word and that spiritual foundation to be paramount. And we do that at home, but I also want it to be done in school with his education and also to be around like-minded people of influence through the teachers and staff and classmates, et cetera. So nevertheless, I'm still toying in my mind of should I think about pulling him out? Should I leave him in there? And a friend of mine through a friend of mine reminded me of a dream that I had. And I went back to find the dream. This dream was in 2021 when my son was only 1 year old. And I'm mad I didn't have the record of it in my phone, but I remember when the dream was. And the Lord had shown me that there was going to be a time where I would be tempted to pull him out of where he was and that there was a specific place that was going to try to recruit him and that I needed to leave him where he was and not to be fooled by the wolf in sheep's clothing that was going to try to get him into their school system or school or program or whatever. And again, this is a dream I had 4 or 5 years ago. And when I was telling my friend about the test scores, soon as she said, "The Lord wanted me to remind you of this dream you had," she didn't even get to saying the dream yet in her voice note, but immediately I knew exactly what she was talking about. And I was so grateful for the Lord, not only for giving me that warning so many years ago, but for reminding me right there in that moment to cut off my line of thinking, which was contemplating if I should pull him out. And so that's another example of the way in which the Holy Spirit will guide you. The Lord will warn you. I had this dream that was a warning. I wrote it down so that if it ever was applicable, I would be able to refer back to it. And again, I couldn't find where I wrote it, but I did remember it, thank God. And I know that had to be the Lord because I don't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday, let alone a dream from 4 or 5 years ago. So that is a perfect example of how the Holy Spirit will guide you, but you have to be sensitive. And for me, I know it's easy to be sensitive when it comes to my children because I recognize and treat them as the gifts that they are from the Lord, especially because of the difficulties that I had to conceive, carry, and deliver them. But that same level of sensitivity is also should be applied to the day-to-day, the simple things. And he'll talk about that in this book as well. But I wanted to provide those examples of what it looks like when the Holy Spirit is guiding you in real time. And to emphasize what he's saying here, that the Holy Spirit is a trustworthy guide. His third key truth is that the Holy Spirit is God's mouthpiece to believers. He says, God has chosen to communicate to his children through the Holy Spirit. He is God's mouthpiece to believers. When God chooses to speak directly to you, it will be through the Holy Spirit. When you think about it, this makes perfect sense. After all, where does the Holy Spirit reside? In you and me. Therefore, he is the perfect candidate for communicating God's will to the Christians. Living inside us, he has direct access to our minds, emotions, and consciousness. So again, he had direct access to my contemplations about my son in school. And he answered that. I didn't ask the Lord, what should I do? I was just thinking about it and weighing these options on my own. But because the Holy Spirit is indwelling, he was able to intercept my own thoughts to guide me in the right way. The fourth truth he points out is the Holy Spirit speaks. The book of Acts records several occasions when the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and Peter. It can't be denied that those men had a special gift and call upon their lives. They were apostles, men handpicked by Christ to take the gospel to the world. But the same Holy Spirit that indwelt those men indwells every believer. Just as they needed divine direction at critical times in their lives, we need it today. In his letters to the Christians in Rome and Galatia, the Apostle Paul refers to believers as led by the Spirit. It would be difficult to lead someone you are not communicating with. The same is true of the Holy Spirit. If we are going to be led by the Holy Spirit, we can only assume he is more than willing and able to communicate with us. This last truth, I want you guys to write in your notes, in your phone, in your journal. The Holy Spirit speaks. I know that we can get caught up a lot of times in fascination or admiration in the way that the Lord speaks to other people. We will hear folks say, like, I hear the Lord saying X, Y, Z, and we think, man, I wish the Holy Spirit would speak to me that way. Or we see people discussing or hear people discussing dreams that they had or visions that they may have or any way in which the Lord communicates with them. And sometimes we discredit or dismiss the fact that the Lord speaks to us because we hold what they may be saying in high regard or put them on some type of pedestal or whatever. And I believe that a lot of us downplay that the Holy Spirit speaks to us to our detriment. The benefit that we have of an indwelling Holy Spirit is that He resides on the inside of us and He is there to communicate with us directly. And it is our job to eliminate the noise that drowns out His voice. And a part of that noise, in my opinion, is when we start putting other folks on pedestals, because what that then goes to say is what God is saying to me isn't good enough. How He's communicating with me either isn't happening or isn't Him, because it may not be like that. And that meaning whomever we may be admiring or putting on some type of pedestal. But I want you to understand, recognize, and internalize that the Holy Spirit speaks to you directly, period. You can hear from Him. That feeling, air quotes, that you have that, man, I don't think I should go to take this usual route to work today. That's the Holy Spirit. That feeling, air quotes, that you have, let me call and check on this person. They just been in my heart. They've been in my spirit. Let me check on this person. And you call them and there's something really going on. The Holy Spirit. So this year, let's focus. This, matter of fact, today. Because tomorrow's not promised, the next moment isn't promised. So right now, let's focus on being sensitive when He does speak. The author goes on to talk about some confessions that he has, and I want to read these because I feel like a lot of us can relate. He says, I've not always looked to the Holy Spirit for guidance. It wasn't because I didn't think He was trustworthy, and it wasn't because I didn't think He was able. To be honest, for a long time, I wasn't convinced that God was interested in guiding me. I wasn't convinced that God really cared about my everyday decisions. Decisions that affected my church were one thing, but most decisions are hardly that monumental. I had a difficult time believing that God took interest in the details of my life. At times, I felt a little guilty bothering Him with the mundane decisions that fill my time. Any of y'all can relate? Maybe you've had similar doubts, he says. I talk to Christians all the time who struggle with this issue. Does He really care where I go to college? Does it really matter which job I take? Does it make any difference which house we will buy? Does God really care where our kids attend elementary school? I would catch myself thinking, how could the God of the universe, who is watching events in important places like Washington, the Middle East, and Moscow, really take my puny decisions seriously? So I went to Him with the big things and did my best to handle the little things on my own. Don't get me wrong, I prayed about the small things. I always prayed, but I didn't expect any divine guidance, so I didn't look for any. I just took things in stride and did the best that I could. Then one day, a familiar passage of scripture took on new significance for me. It says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5:6-7. Suddenly it dawned on me, if God encourages me to unload on Him all the things that are worrying me, it must be for a reason. According to this passage, the reason is He really cares about me. He's not too busy to care about the things that concern me. And I read that because I want those of you who feel similarly to know that God cares about you. He cares to speak to you. He cares about the things that you're contemplating and haven't even mustered up the strength to ask Him about yet. He cares about those things that bother you that you never speak on. He cares about you. He cares about what dress you want to wear to work today. He cares about what curtains you want to hang in your home. He cares about what you eat for breakfast and or what you want to listen to on the way to work. There's nothing too big or too small that concerns you that the Lord doesn't care about. And I want us to go throughout today. I was trying to stop myself from saying this year. I want us to go throughout today, right now, understanding that and appreciating that. Now, that was chapter 13. It was really quick. Let's move on to chapter 14. This is a really, really good chapter. It's all about preparing to hear the principle of neutrality. He starts the chapter off telling a story about how his church was dealing with the logistics issue as far as space. They had a bunch of members, limited space. They didn't want people in a bunch of overflows. But then at the same time, he didn't want to preach 3-4 messages in one single Sunday in order to accommodate everybody. And he had done that before. He got very burnt out. And so they were really at a crossroads with this issue. And he talked about how the church team just pretty much put this plan in place, the best plan based upon what they had, in order to solve their problem short term while preparing to move into a bigger building. And he talked about how this whole time they were creating this plan, at no point did anybody stop before making the plans to ask the Lord what he wanted them to do. And so he got to this point where he realized this, and they decided that they were going to all go to a prayer retreat. Even though they had already did all this planning and had everything, quote unquote, figured out, they decided to go on this prayer retreat in order to course correct and seek the Lord. But that really birthed this whole idea of neutrality, because that was not putting them in a neutral position. And he even said, as it relates to this retreat, he said, when we arrived at the retreat center, we immediately set about praying. We all knew what we should pray. Lord, show us what to do about our space problem. But so much had already been done. Our plans were too far along. It was hard to pray that and mean it. What we really wanted to pray was, Lord, bless our plans. And I highlight that because how many of us do the exact same thing? We've already created a vision board. We've already had the business idea. We already started buying stuff. We done already made the social media pages. We done already told everybody about it and had a launch party, and the list goes on. And now we decide to pray. Now, in this sequence of events, by the time you get to prayer, are you at a place where you are clear-minded, open, and ready to receive whatever the Lord says and then respond to that? Or are you like them and in a place where you're simply just asking the Lord to bless what you came up with? And that's why this idea of neutrality is so important, because you want to go to the Lord with a blank slate of, I can go either way. I remember when I was seeking the Lord for, I was believing in him to have another child before I had my second son. And I was faced with the question of IVF or continue to try naturally. At that time, I kept conceiving, but I would have miscarriages and hadn't been able to conceive and carry to term again. And I was worried if I was going to be able to have more children. And I went to a fertility clinic, got a bunch of testing done, and they presented us our options. And the best option for us that they said was IVF, or of course, trying naturally. And I was in that space where I'm like, okay, God, you could move in either one. I know you can move in IVF, and I know you can move in me conceiving naturally. So which one do you have for me? Before you formed me in my mama's womb, which one of these things were on the page? And I had to get to a neutral place. And to be honest with you, I couldn't just ask God that right away because I was too emotionally tied to the outcome. IVF felt like it gave me a little bit more control. So I was leaning towards that way, to be honest, because the idea of trying to conceive naturally to me just put me back on a roller coaster of the heartbreak of the trying and then waiting to see if my cycle comes, and then, you know, it doesn't come and I'm disappointed, I'm crying, and then we do it all over again, get to the point where I do have a positive pregnancy test, but it's not a viable pregnancy, then I miscarry and then got to deal with the heartbreak of that, and then go back to trying and again and again and again. Like, this was the same emotional roller coaster that I called it. And so IVF at that time looked to me like an opportunity to just at least get off of that roller coaster. I knew I was going to get on another one. But I'm like, well, let me try the Superman versus the Batman. Let me do a different one. Because all I knew was that emotionally, I was tired of the one that I was on. And so I was in no condition to ask God that question of which one, because I just didn't want to continue doing what I was doing. And him telling me to go the natural route would just simply be that. So I waited some time and I just had to let my heart break. I had to let the Lord put it back together. I had to just continue to heal and grow and take things one day at a time. And then eventually I was sober enough from my emotions to be able to ask the Lord and then wait on his response. And once I got into that neutral place, I was able to hear his response very clearly and be sure that it was him. And if I've told this story before, so many of you know, the result of that was for me to continue on the path that I was on of trying to conceive naturally. And 2 weeks after the Lord gave me that verdict or that answer to my question, I was pregnant with my second son and had a normal, healthy pregnancy. And he is a very energetic 2-year-old.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's March, which means this month includes International Women's Day, which is a moment to celebrate women's strength and progress while also recognizing how much they carry every single day. Caring for others, running the families, running the businesses, all of these unseen responsibilities or this invisible weight, it can easily be overlooked. I want you to think about a woman in your life. I come from a line of strong women, and I want you to pause and reflect on all of the roles they play and the pressures that they feel. Therapy can help create balance, set healthy boundaries, and support overall well-being for everyone. What I love about BetterHelp is they have quality therapists. They work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp also does the initial matching work, because we know it is hard sometimes to find a therapist, so you could focus specifically on your therapy goals. And with their 12 plus years of experience and industry leading match fulfillment rate, that means that they typically get it right on the first time. And if you aren't happy with your match, you can just switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. Your emotional well-being matters. Find support and feel lighter in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Marley Spoon. Every year, I make these goals to get better with my meal planning, but something always goes awry because my life just needs flexibility. So what finally clicked for me is that I realized that meals don't have to look one specific way. They just have to fit your life. That's what Marley Spoon does really well. What I love is that Marley Spoon actually adapts with you. Some nights you cook, some nights you heat, and some nights you just need dinner done really fast. They've got options for all of it, so that means it fits your schedule, not the other way around. Now, I'm a foodie, so flavor and variety is a must for me. And what I love is that they give you over 100 recipes to choose from each week. We're talking comforting classics like the chicken mayonnaise and cucumber arugula salad to fresh, balanced dishes like everything bagel salmon and truffle chive potatoes and green beans, all made with quality ingredients. And there's something for whatever you have a taste for. Marley Spoon has tons of options in their marketplace, from meal shortcuts and drinks to fresh groceries that you can add on each week. And for those nights where you need dinner ASAP, Marley Spoon's prepared meals are exactly what they sound like: convenient, delicious, and on the table in minutes. This is a lifesaver for me if I have a lot of studying to do, a long day, and I just don't feel like cooking. You'll find these on every weekly menu, and if you've got a few extra minutes, they have some great 20-minute options too. My personal favorite hack is those tray bake dinners. You literally just throw everything on one tray, boom, you're done. And they even include the actual tray. My favorite meal from Molly Spoon was this falafel pita. I was in the middle of cooking and organizing things for the new year, and I was hungry. I wanted something fresh, wanted something fast. And the falafel pita was perfect. It was done in 20 minutes. And what was even better is it's husband proof. My husband is not a great cook whatsoever, but he was able to make it and it was delicious thanks to their easy to follow instructions. This year, fast track your way to eating well with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/blessed for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/blessed for up to 25 free meals. So I have seen time and time again in business and in my personal life how precise your obedience can be when you seek the Lord from a neutral standpoint. The author says, and further defines neutrality, he says, by neutral, I mean being consumed with discovering what pleases the Holy Spirit rather than working to convince him of the wisdom and brilliance of our plans. I'm afraid many of us pray with the goal of talking God into our plans rather than trying to discover his will. Consequently, we never hear from him. Jesus understood the importance of neutrality. He modeled it for his disciples when he prayed, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." The implication was, "Father, whatever you want, that's ultimately what I want." Then again, the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal, he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." He says, from God's perspective, the content of our prayers takes second place to the question of whether or not we are willing to obey him. His ultimate goal is hearts and minds that are in complete harmony with his kingdom agenda. His plan for you and me is to move us to the place where we can sincerely say with Christ, "Your kingdom come, regardless of how it interferes with my plans. Your will be done in spite of what I expect or desire." The neutral heart is the one that is able to keep his own hurts, burdens, and requests in proper perspective. The neutral heart, the one the Holy Spirit speaks to and through with ease, is the one that seeks to discover God's perfect will. The neutral heart will always approach the throne of grace with its own agenda in the background. Something that I make a practice for whenever I'm seeking the Lord, especially on something specific, is I always go into my prayer time and worship. Because what I believe that worship does, or at least what it does for me, is it cleanses me of all of my own biases, requests, perspectives, opinions, etc. It creates a neutral environment for me to seek the Lord from. Because when I'm worshiping, I'm not thinking about whatever trivial things is on my mind. I'm just grateful that the Lord saw fit for me to still be here, that he saw fit to save me, that he saw fit to bless me, that he saw fit to call me, to speak to me, to love me. Like, it's just when I think about the goodness of the Lord, it is consuming. When I think about my life and the way that the Lord has transformed me, I can't even find the words to explain to you how that makes me feel and the place of gratitude that it places me in, to where I have no choice but to be neutral because I'm reminded of how worthless I am and how worthy he is. And so I would suggest for any of you who struggle with getting to that place of neutrality, because life, you know, emotions, all of those things are valid. Worship, I feel, will help you be able to make that transition into that neutral space to be able to then seek the Lord from the right heart posture. He then goes on to talk about how another reason why it's important for us to go to the Lord with a neutral heart is because a lot of times we have the propensity to confuse God's will with ours. Like he gave an example of if you tell your child, say your child asks to go to the movies this weekend and you say, maybe I'll think about it. In their mind, they're like, bet, we're going. And you're like, whoa, I didn't even say that. I said, maybe I'll think about it. But they just took that as we're going. He says the same thing when we seek the Lord. So he goes on to say, why does this happen? Here's my theory. When kids, or adults for that matter, really want to do something, there is such a buildup of emotional momentum that any answer except absolutely not is interpreted as yes. If you don't refuse, then you promised. Not because you actually promised, but because the momentum was moving in that direction. They take any hope of a yes to an extreme. The more time between the request and the event, the greater the anticipation and the excitement. As the excitement builds, the promise, which wasn't actually a promise, becomes etched in stone. Time erases any trace of doubt from their minds. I am convinced that we do the same thing with God. We approach Him with requests that are emotionally charged. We want whatever it is so much that we can taste it. We couldn't hear a no if our lives depended on it. So we assume a yes response. And if God says yes, then that is an unalterable promise. It's going to happen no matter what anyone says. When things don't work out, the person God promised me I was going to marry someone else, the job God promised me falls through, we become disappointed with God. The world is full of people who abandon the faith because the Lord didn't come through for them. In every case, however, the problem was not God. The problem was misplaced faith in a promise that He never made. This happens so much in business because we get so excited. We get excited about building wealth. We get excited about getting clients. We get excited about starting these businesses and the call that's on our life. And we start consuming all of this content and reading the books and all the things that just further our excitement. And it taints our ability to be neutral. So then we go to the Lord and we're thinking that we're hearing from something from Him for our business, and we're wrong. And we go do the thing and it doesn't work out and we're mad at God, but He ain't never said that. He didn't tell you to write the book. I know you don't hear that often. People a lot always be like, God is telling you to write that book. It's enough 20-page self-published books with no depth on the internet. And that's no shade. But there's a lot of people who have just gone prematurely to create the thing. And wonder why it's not as impactful as it could be. It's not making as much money as it could be. It's not as fleshed out as it's supposed to be because you thought you heard from the Lord, but you heard what you wanted to hear. It happens so much. I've done it so many times in business, and every single time I've wasted money and I've wasted time. And I've had to go back, repent, and get neutral so that I could get precise in what I was doing. That neutrality makes room for the precision that you need to do the Lord's work well. Let me just end with this last section that he says. He says, why then do we sometimes feel threatened by the notion of putting aside our agendas and approaching Him from the standpoint of neutrality? It goes back to something I talked about earlier. Neutrality before God threatens whatever or whoever functions as the center focus of our life. In other words, until Christ is Lord, the knowledge of His plans for us will always seem like a threat because it is a threat. It threatens the object, the relationship, the plans, the career, the business, or whatever that at the moment sits at the throne of our lives. And that is precisely why God demands neutrality. He wants to be Lord. Surrendered men and women who have given over control of their lives to the Savior welcome the Father's will. They are not afraid of the Spirit's leading. They are not threatened. Why? Because Jesus is not threatened by the will of the Father. And when Jesus sits as Lord upon the throne of a life, He is never threatened by the will of the Father from that vantage point either. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful communicator, but He does not speak for the sake of passing along information. He speaks to get a response, and He knows when our agendas have such a stronghold of our attention that it is a waste of time to suggest anything to the contrary. That stung a little bit for me, I ain't gonna lie. When that is the case, He is often silent. He waits for us to become neutral enough to hear and eventually obey. Are you at one of those stages in life where you need direction, wisdom, and answer? Maybe the Holy Spirit is waiting on you to shift into neutral. Once you do, He knows and you know that His agenda has become the priority of your life. When that happens, obedience becomes much easier. And with obedience comes the peace that surpasses all comprehension. I think this is a good place to end. Anybody else feel red? I think that's a good place for us to stop. And in your prayer time today, I want you to sit with the Lord and ask Him to show you the ways in which you have not been neutral. Allow Him to put that mirror up so that you can course correct and begin to operate from a place of true sensitivity. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.